Los Angeles, the year 2006. Citywide crime has increased 300%, and a gang called the Hell Riders control most of the city.
They're heading for the zone.
The Hell Zone, where laws don't exist and murder is the local currency.
Good day to kill a cop.
That wasn't very neighborly, was it?
Lab says it might be AIDS vaccine.
Well, if the Hellsiders are running this stuff,
let us go undercover.
Anyone can visit my club if they want to play.
A pair of tough cops on an undercover mission enter the Hell Zone, where a criminal mastermind has created a game, an arena of death ring fighters. Their job, to expose an illegal AIDS vaccine racket.
You use a stick like you've used one before.
Yeah, well, I practice a little.
But they discover that skill doesn't always determine the victor in the arena.
It's run by a computer.
It was Drexel.
Watch out of there.
If we have a contact.
It's too dangerous.
Hey, that guy's a cop.
I have a message to give to your husband.
I'm going into the zone to get Drexel.
Too bad we can't do that in the real world.
LAPD.
Rock and roll division.
Firepower.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
High energy start, everybody, man.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why is that?
Because it's a brand new outlook on life
here
at Baby Oil and Blow, Nate.
We got a whole new coat of paint on this show.
Yeah.
It's probably people are feeling very confused right now. Spun around. We got like new bumper things. New song, intros.
Yeah.
New logos going on.
Yeah.
What the fuck's happening, Matt?
We're edgier. We turned heel.
Is that what happened?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe turned heel on a... If there was any wrestling dorks out there still listening to us, I don't know why they would have been, because we do nothing but run them down week
That's
after
fair.
Week, just like nonstop.
Yeah.
You'd have to really be a masochist to
right.
sit through this all the time.
And if you're still listening, you think we're... funny, maybe, or I don't know, you get some kind of sick amusement out of it, but either way, chances are you're just as much into shitty action movies as you are shitty wrestling.
Yeah, let's cut to the quick here. We've done 75 episodes of talking about wrestling shows. Man, it was all starting to blur together in my mind.
Yeah.
I was having this issue where, like, when we'd sit down to watch these wrestling shows, it was like a good every 10 minutes, I'd realize I wasn't paying attention again.
Yeah.
So we're changing it up here. We're tapping into another one of our childhood obsessions, and we're going to go from baby-oiled up fucking hulking men in a wrestling ring to baby-oiled up hulking men shooting at each other with the guns in action movies. We're going to talk about action movies for a while.
Yeah.
And we're going to ease into you. We're going to this first one. There's a wrestler in it.
Right.
Anybody out there who's like, oh no, I was in it for the wrestling. That's all I could. Just ease into it. Give it a chance, baby.
Yeah.
There's a little Ultimate Warrior. Chill. You might like it.
Just chill, baby.
Just look at the Warrior. Look what he's doing.
It's the Warrior's only starring role in a film.
No. Your dad's not going to be home for hours.
Yeah. Let me work my way under that bra. But I ain't cool enough or smart enough or old enough yet to
this thing
figure out how to take off your bra. So I'm just going to mash my hand under
there's
that.
There's ones that open in the front? When did this start?
I'm going to go home with a real bad dark crease on the back of my fingers where that underwire was just digging into my hand all night as I clumsily...
Knuckles are all cut up. Just been telling people I'm a pit fighter.
Yep. Get to second base for the first time in my life last night? No. That's pit fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all that is.
That's some hard hard concrete road rash on my knuckles.
That's right.
I've been punching cinder blocks like Zeus and no holds barred.
Yeah, and then your girl got that hard contact road rash on her crotch the next day because she shaved for you in anticipation the night before.
We should have talked about it earlier. We should have talked about it.
Cause I fumbling with that bra all night.
I didn't ask for it. It's not something I wanted.
You just make me think about Rambo now. I just like Rambo. I think about Rambo a lot.
Just trying to like get with women?
Asking
like
for
what Rambo's
war,
like in bed?
You know, nothing is over. It's just a lot of times I'll think about like...
All right, Rambo, you're not getting the bra off. This makeout session is over.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off! You asked me, I didn't ask you! And I did what I had to do to win, but somebody wouldn't let us win.
It's still Baby Oil and Blow. You heard that right.
That's right.
Because the name still works, and we've just got too much money tied up into it, to be honest with you.
Investments on investments, man.
There's a lot of offshore
start paying off soon.
Bank accounts with that name attached to it, as long as the government ain't listening.
A lot of Pauly Shore bank accounts that we owe money to.
Right. Yeah.
Checks in the mail,
but he ironically still owes us. It's a big mess. Same hosts, as always, Matt O. This week, ooh, man, how are we going to play this one?
I'm going to be the alley cat to your hammer, I think.
I think so,
it's got to go.
Yeah, it still works. You're the alley cat. You're the Steve McQueen's much less attractive, much less talented son, Chad,
Getting rough already.
To my Gary Daniels. You are Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. I'm happy to be here, re-energized. I'm the brand new Baby Oil and Blow.
Yeah.
I'm ready to talk movies. I'm ready to talk action movies. I've got a vision for how this can go. I'm well over 200 action movies that I'd like to talk about. This list that I've fucking accumulated. So we're not gonna run out anytime soon. Well, how it goes, I don't know. Maybe we'll get sick of this and we'll move on to something else.
Have you seen the network? We were never gonna run out of that either.
Yeah, we'll put some new things in here every once in a while. Who knows? Yeah. We're gonna stick to an aesthetic, I think, is mostly what I'm concerned about, which is two white guys talking about childish bullshit from when they were children.
Yeah. That always works for me.
Mm-hmm. We're still drinking whiskey while we talk about it.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, you got to.
Nothing's changed there.
There it is.
It still takes about 90 minutes to get through the thing that we're watching, which, I mean, if you have a whole narrative film, that seems much less tedious than these fucking repetitive WCW shows we were watching where it's just like the same thing over and over again. 90 minutes every week. Wow, that was a bit of an ordeal.
True.
We got through 75 of them like troopers.
Be honest, did you want to change the format of the show because you didn't want to have to talk about the first night of the Superstar Shakeup tonight?
That was a huge part of it for sure, yeah. Glad we don't have to do that. There's no shakeups in action movies, so there's no modern action movies, really.
There is shakeup in action movies.
There's not going to be any modern bullshit that angers me and triggers me trickling into this, probably.
There is shakeup in action movies, but it's shaky cam and it does not exist.
God.
It does not exist in these movies we're covering.
Shaky cam is the fucking high spot flippy guys of pro wrestling version of fucking action movies.
So much so that
the quick
Vince
edit, the
has,
shaky cam.
Incorporated shaky cam into wrestling.
I've heard a lot of complaints about that, but I don't think I've actually felt the brunt of that. They're like zooming in and out Joe Dante in the Burb style anytime somebody's doing like corner punches and stuff.
Yeah, except none of the lovable characters from the Burbs are on Monday Night Raw.
I'd like love to see a Bruce Dern out there as a general manager figure.
Absolutely.
Just shirtless but wearing that green army vest, coming out in his underwear.
Yeah, still have the same hot wife?
I would assume so. Mrs. Rumsfeld ain't going nowhere. Yeah. She was very loyal.
Hey, Mrs. Rumsfeld. No tan lines this morning. Looks nice.
That kid next door is a meatball.
One thing that's not going to change with their new format is our first segment, Matt. It's still the rundown, baby.
The rundown.
We're getting into the rundown. This week, the rundown is brought to us by Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Because they have a copy of the movie we are watching on their service. That movie is Firepower.
When your wife needs a marital aid in 2 days and is too embarrassed to go to the local sex shop.
Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime. And also corny action movies. Firepower from 1993 or 1994, depending on who you believe.
93.
It came out in Germany a little bit earlier than it did in the United States. I'm going by U.S. date, so we're calling it 94. I don't care what they're doing in Europe.
999.
Do they even have action movies in the... Like, minus their porn, which gets pretty action-packed.
Oh, yeah, very violent. Yeah.
I don't even know if they do actual action.
Remember that one where the
pale-skinned
redhead was getting railed on those hard stairs? And
I do remember
she
that.
She had marks all over her.
I don't remember quite what country it was from, but I remember it being projected
Deutschland,
at a college party we were at
you know.
Many a years ago. Firepower. It's brought to us by director Richard Pepin. He's a Canadian man.
Yes, that Richard Pepin.
Did a handful of straight-to-video schlock films. Probably not much that you've heard of unless you're a big connoisseur of Don the Dragon Wilson. I think he did a handful. We might be covering a little bit of Don the Dragon Wilson here in the future.
Was he in that neon garbage Batman and Robin with Alicia Silverstone?
It's possible. I don't remember much about that other than fucking the kid from... That Al Pacino yelling movie was Robin. Nobody liked that.
Here she got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it.
Hoo-ha.
That's the one.
Robin.
This is a straight-to-video jam. A little bit under the radar. So we've got no posted budget. No gross. We don't know anything like that that went down with it. We do know a few of the big stars in the movie. As you hinted at earlier, we got Chad McQueen as our main character. Darren Braniff. If you don't know Chad McQueen, his biography lists him as a martial artist and race car driver.
Well, he gave that up.
As well as an actor.
Spoiler alert, he gave that up.
And also son of Steve McQueen, but you know, whatever. We're focusing on his martial arts and fucking race car driving skills in this thing.
He got in a bad car accident training for the Daytona Rolex 24-hour whatever.
Now, did the accident stem from him showing up intoxicated? Because he looks like the kind of guy that chugs a lot of beer.
One would have to assume.
You know, it doesn't look like he chugs a lot of beer, Matt. Gary Daniels. He's our sidekick here. We got a little bit of a buddy cop fucking dynamic going on.
Sidekick slash main event.
We got a former kickboxer from England, I believe, but
correct.
His accent's weird. Is that a typical English accent to your ears?
He sounds more New Zealand.
Yeah,
to me.
That's what I was thinking when I saw the trailer originally. I was like, oh, that guy's clearly from New. Either way, he's in shape. He's got long, lustrous hair. He's a real Triple H type. Joseph Ruskin is playing our villain. He's an old guy who's been working since the 50s, still working to this day.
I know he's dead.
Very recently he was working up to. He's been in a lot of shit. Old episodes of The Twilight Zone, The Outer Limits, Gunsmoke. He's probably the coolest part of this movie, if you don't count the next guy. Jim Helwig is playing the muscle of this movie, the swordsman. Jim Helwig, there's not much known about him. He's from parts unknown.
Yeah, no one even knows where he's from.
I read somewhere that he had a stint as a professional wrestler, known as the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
So there's that. I don't know. We'll look into that. Apparently, there's a guy named the Ultimate Warrior.
Or as the Warrior.
Warrior. Yeah, that's true. I guess legally we can't even call him Jim Helwig. He died as Warrior. So we'll pretend like he lived it as well. Jim Helwig is the big muscle, the swordsman, the unstoppable pit fighter in this movie. Oh, pit fighter, you say? Yeah, that's right. Because we got a lot of pit fighting going on in this movie. Our plot synopsis here. I pulled this off of IMDb. This is from IMDb user David Choi. I felt like he did the best job of taking all this nonsense and getting it all in there and really explaining it. So David says, in the year 2007, crime has risen at an exponential rate. Once highly populated metropolises such as Los Angeles are no longer inhabitable.
Oh, no.
These cities have transformed into hell zones, ruled by violent street gangs.
Hell zone.
The hell zone, formerly called the Zone of Personal Freedom, is a safe haven for criminal warpaths everywhere. This hell zone in L.A. is controlled by a criminal mastermind named Drexel. That's Joseph Ruskin.
That's a cool name.
Drexel's class is a good show, so right now you're winning me over throwing that out there. For the sake of entertaining his crowds of decadent losers and underlings, well, that's a little judgy. Come on, man. Losers? Drexel has staged a series of lethal, no-holds-barred matches in the death ring, where the winner takes all of the glory, while the defeated one shall lose his self-respect, or maybe just his head. He's putting some humor in it. I love it. Meanwhile, two brave cops, Braniff, that's Chad McQueen, and Sledge, Gary Daniels, must risk their badges and their lives when they enter Los Angeles' hell zone.
You call him Sledge?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
This is his real name.
That's not his name in it.
His name is Sledge. That's why he names himself Hammer as his fun, like, fighter name. Sledgehammer, get it?
I thought they were calling him Blade.
They must fight back for their lives in order to expose an alleged black market involving the sale of counterfeit AIDS vaccines. That's part of the movie. He's not lying.
Yep.
Will these two men triumph against all odds in the hell zone alive, or will they pay with their lives? That was the rundown on
I don't know.
Firepower from 1994-ish.
93
Unless
or 4.
You happen to be from Germany.
1993 or 4.
They get everything good in Germany. Whole fucking extra year they were getting to watch Firepower and
Hell
we
weren't. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay, we got a new segment on the show. After the rundown we're going into, it's similar to the old segment. Don't call it the five count. We're doing bullet points now, buddy.
Blocker, blocker, blocker.
This is where we go through our notes. We pick out the big ones, the things that stood out to us, the things we want to talk about when it comes to this movie. We want to dig into this a little deeper. We're not here just to give you plot synopses. We're here really just to mix it up, man.
No.
Chop it up. Throw
chopping
it on the grill.
Just chopping
put
it
put some soy sauce on there. Maybe make one of those onion volcanoes.
You don't put... Oh, that's
hungry.
A hibachi.
I'm
that's not
now.
Like a grill. You say grill and I'm thinking like charcoal, propane.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Propane accessories.
And propane accessories.
All right, let's get into these bullet points. Let's dig into your notes. What's your first point, brother?
Mine are very loose, so you throw one out, and I'm just going to bounce around back and forth.
Well, I think I want to start by talking about the Ultimate Warrior and what he brings to the table here in
this
movie.
That's fair. That's definitely a bullet point for me. As was alluded to earlier, this is his only film he ever did.
Yeah, that's how we stumbled across this whole thing. I didn't even know that he was in a film. Turns out he was.
Yeah, I accidentally
now we've watched it.
Figured it out last week and immediately came to you with it because it's big news.
It's
big news.
Was he on the outs with Vince when this came out? Probably.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He was not in.
This getting any fucking
he was
promo
not in WWE
on the weekly F. WWF Superstars.
Yeah, when
like
we.
Jim Hellwig and Firepower.
When we left off in 92, where we were
watching.
Oh,
yeah.
Watching,
that was. He was on
he
his
was,
way
out
yeah, for the last
on
time,
way out
right?
For the last time, so.
Okay, so this is why he's showing up in Chad
himself.
McQueen movies now because he's
and
fucking
he,
doesn't have a job.
And he still ripped the shit.
Oh, bigger than ever,
yeah,
I think. I feel just, like in this movie. Maybe it's just because he's
bunch,
next to
yeah,
non-roided out pro wrestlers.
Actors,
now.
Right.
Either way,
vascular as fuck.
First thing I noticed, we're introduced to his character when he gets fucking arrested by these future cops and they're trying to book him and he
we
starts
hear over
going
the radio.
Nuts.
Oh, Billy and Donahue are bringing in the swordsmen.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
What? Oh, they got the swordsman?
Everybody knows who he is. There's whispers about it. But then he starts roiding out. He's fighting off lots of cops. The first thing I noticed, though, one of the cops starts giving him little fucking just like MMA kicks to the thigh, trying to like chop him down a little bit. Warrior starts selling the leg, man.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable to me. This guy had a whole like fucking 8-year career in pro wrestling. And I didn't see him sell the leg fucking once.
Nobody ever gave him a chance.
Yeah, exactly. So all you fucking old vets out there in the wrestling game want to talk shit about he doesn't know what he's doing. Well, maybe if you challenged him a little bit.
Yeah.
Gave him something to work
sink
with.
Sink his teeth into.
You'd figure out that fucking the Warrior does know what he's
something
doing.
Something to be proud of for once.
Because that first fight went pretty well. He was using his strength.
Oh,
he was,
man.
He got taken down by a future taser. Finally.
Hey, that's...
You know,
I've been taken down
it's gonna happen.
By a regular current day taser.
Uh-huh.
I can only imagine what a future taser
this looked like a glowing electric net that like covered your whole body after you got tased. This is fucking pretty serious.
Quick little bullet point on that.
Okay.
What's something that stood out to me as someone that's worked in corrections, law enforcement, whatever you want to consider it.
The who's gal.
He's spending like 5 minutes beating the shit out of these two cops while the entire
he's doing
department
a real good job.
Just sits there and watches and are like, oh,
Well, to be fair, the two that were directly behind the desk seemed like losers. One was like a chick, and the other one was an old man. I'm not jumping in on the warrior if I'm one of those two.
Either way, where he was booked in is right next to the bullpen, because we saw it a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
When Braniff and Sledge bring their guy
in. They established the geography of this police, this whole area very well, so... You know later when he gets broken out, what's going on.
Yeah, there was people there. They just did nothing. But the warrior, just a commanding performance,
oh, man.
I want to say.
A lot of grunting, a lot of hollering.
I saw anything you find online, people are like, oh, you know, like, warrior was good, but, like, thankfully they didn't give him any lines. Oh, like, oh, you can't give him lines. Mm-hmm. Any kind of lines, any kind of laughs, whatever that he had, mm-hmm. he killed. He delivered, man.
A lot of just, like, smug looks, the way of our two heroes. Like, you disgust me.
I'm saying, it's great that he gave us this one movie,
mm-hmm.
and he's perfect in it.
I feel like we need to spread the word about this. I feel like this is an underlooked gem of a performance from the Ultimate Warrior in the world of sleazy, straight-to-video action.
Yeah.
More people need to know about it.
Absolutely. So, man.
I gotta say,
Jim Helwig.
Big old balls on that first guy he fights in his first pit fight.
Uh-huh.
Where they both get swords and they're having like a legitimate staged sword fight.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior can't even throw a fucking clothesline without hurting people.
Right.
You're gonna stand opposite him while he's swinging a big fucking sword around?
And I get it. It's like a staged sword.
What kind of hazard pay is that guy getting?
But yeah, man. That's a great point.
This is some dangerous shit going on. I mean, people have died on movie sets, and I don't know, maybe this one just didn't get reported because nobody was really paying attention
to
this.
If somebody could cut...
He had to have at least cut off, like, a finger or
something.
I was
going to say, if somebody could dismember another person with an unsharpened sword, it's warrior
100%.
All day.
Or just, like, take a chunk out of your skull. Just, like, as a blunt instrument. He had to have been inches away from doing that.
Now, since you brought up his in-ring, death ring fighting
as
the swordsman,
yeah.
did you, I'll just use the term, mark out to yourself every time he instinctually just did the warrior hand pumps? Because like he didn't know any
raise
better.
The roof thing, like, this is what,
like,
I do.
He gets fired up and that's just a thing for him.
Well, you know, he's the swordsman, sure, but he's also still the warrior a little bit. I think along those lines, I like that, like, everybody else in this fucking death ring thing was, like, dressed up like somebody in a post-apocalyptic mm-hmm. world, but he's just wearing a pro wrestling singlet and, like, pro wrestling knee pads,
right,
and, like, some athletic shoes. It's just mm-hmm. like, it's just like the people are just like, oh no, we can't dress him up like something else. We need the audience to know this is the Ultimate Warrior.
Fuck yeah.
He doesn't have his face paint on. He's got to have his wrestling gear at least. Audiences aren't going to know. This is our big selling point. We got the Ultimate Warrior.
They even, like, tied one bandana around his forearm to kind of look like
guarantee that was
fringe,
like a producer's note. Like they demanded that he show up in spandex, like his wrestling gear, so that people would know. It's the wrestler. We got him.
He looked cool, but he also looked really cool in all his, like, outside the ring gear.
Yeah, that's the shit I liked the most. Like, yeah, I would like to see more of that, because I know who the Warrior is. I don't need to be reminded through, like, just blatant pandering. It was cool seeing him just be like, oh, yeah, that's what he'd look like if he was a post-apocalyptic warrior.
Like,
no pun intended.
He had, like, crazy biker shit like all the other people, but it was, like, really high-end. You can tell he's getting paid well what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. And so he's just got, like, this crazy...
A lot of moose in that hair.
Future duster with those, like, two long straps across it.
Yeah, we were talking last
week
about...
really show how fucking wide, how big across he is.
92 was the era when he started wearing dusters, probably because he saw the Nasty Boys dusters and got fucking jealous. I feel like here in the 94, he's still loving them.
Brian, Jerry, where did you get those?
That instinct's a good one, because, man, does that man know how to rock a duster.
Again, it just makes him look like a two-car garage wide, you know?
For sure.
It's an impressive look.
You could park a Volvo in each one of his pecs.
Absolutely.
No fucking problem.
You got any more on our guy Warrior?
Well, transition a little bit here. This should probably just, let's get the storytelling out of the way.
Yeah?
Just talk about a little bit before
we'll hit the bullet
more
points
also what
of
I
want to
talk about
That's
is specifics of things I liked or didn't like. But what has to be addressed, the elephant in the room, is just that... Man, this story doesn't track as something that makes sense from moment to moment at all. In any way?
Agree or disagree. Okay. I'll hear you out.
No, I'd like to hear you out.
I'll hear you out.
I'd like for you to explain to me why people were doing the things they did in this movie and why it all made sense.
This is the future.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What's up?
We got a couple of cops.
Okay.
They're tracking down a false AIDS virus.
Right.
That's being created by this man Drexel.
False AIDS vaccine.
So yeah, the vaccine, sorry.
Right.
It's not curing people of the AIDS virus. Yeah. So if AIDS is spreading again,
you gotta
start bagging it again. These guys, they have a good 15 minutes where they're pissed about that. Just like,
right.
Bro, I am not wearing condoms. We have to do something about this. Which I appreciate. I mean, right there, you're hitting me like right in my heart. You're getting me on your side. And I'm like, yes, we do need to do something about this false AIDS vaccine.
Shove.
I am not fucking wearing condoms. This is the future. We should be past that.
Hell yeah.
So then
there's 2007. Why the fuck am I wearing a rubber, babe?
Right. I was definitely not wearing them in 2007.
I was yelling that all the time in 2007.
So these guys track it to this underground fight ring. And then they're like, okay, I guess we're going to infiltrate this fight ring by becoming undercover fighters ourselves.
Okay, yes, correct.
And then the rest of the movie, they just become fighters and don't do any police work.
No, they were still doing police work.
They were doing literally no police work. They were trying to bang waitresses. They were getting drunk after their fights.
No, they
were palling around with the other fighters.
Okay. All right.
They were doing no investigating.
Let's get into the story a little bit here. So, like you said, it's the two cops, and they're like, we got to... So, Swordsman, Ultimate Warrior, breaks out of jail because the Hell Riders, who are the gang from the Hell Zone, they come and break out Swordsman because he's the number two.
They're like the future version of the bikers for Trump.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Swordsman is Drexel's, you know, number one. He's the Bob the Goon
right-hand
to Drexel's
man.
Joker.
Yeah.
And he's like, I gotta get this guy out.
With as huge and hulking of a man as the Ultimate Warrior is, wouldn't you think you'd give him like a warhammer or something as a signature weapon? Why a sword?
Well, that's kind of one of my bullet points that I want to get on that. Was okay. Like, when I should have brought it up when you were talking about he has that sword fight with Professor Mortizawa or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And I kept thinking to myself, like, man, somebody really wrote the character of the swordsman before Warrior was cast.
Yeah, clearly.
I was just fucking married to it and was like, nope, can't change that.
And I imagine, like, the swordsman probably had some lines before the Warrior was cast, too. And then there's like, no, now he's a guy that barely talks.
Yeah. Oh, it's still, like, mystical, like, ninja, like, quiet, like, Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe's. He never talked.
Very spiritual man.
He was cool.
The Ultimate Warrior.
Well, he was. He was very spiritual. We know that. He's all the warriors and the parts unknown, man. But I thought the same exact thing. Like, you could just call that motherfucker Warhammer.
Warhammer would be a much more appropriate name.
And just give him a giant Warhammer.
Have him fucking crushing people's skulls with it.
Yeah.
That would work better for me.
Either way, they break.
So nervous about that sword getting swung around.
They break him out. There's a big chase. It leads all the way to the Hell Zone. The guys, bad guys, get away, and Sledge is all like, "We're going in."
Mm-hmm.
And like,
Sledge is always ready to jump in. It seems like he's very enthusiastic.
He's a little. I don't want to say reckless.
He's jumping into a lot of puss throughout this movie.
Right.
He's jumping into a lot of pit fights. Yeah. He's hot dogging it out there when he's in that cage, I'll tell you that much.
Now you're a real blue flame special, aren't you, son? Young, dumb, and full of cum. I know.
So, you know, he's like, hey, we gotta do this, we gotta go for it, and Bram's like, I don't know. So then they go there, they discover the world of the cage fighting or the death ring. They also discover that there's gambling, booze, prostitutes, and tattoo shops
all in the same
building.
This place is like Foot Clan thing from the Ninja Turtles movie.
But grown up.
But yeah,
times
on
million.
Steroids and meth.
Check it out, man. Anything you guys want, we got. Anything you want to do, do it. You know what I'm saying? Anything. You got any cigarettes? Regular or mental?
And it made me realize, like, if in 2007, I'm moving to Hell Zone.
I mean, like, 100%. Fuck regular life. Like, The whole time fucking old Chad McQueen's trying to hit on this chick who works for Drexel and is just like, you could do better than this. We got to get you out of the hell zone.
Side note, he's married with a kid.
And this is the second part of my what the fuck's going on with the storytelling. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, the getting out of the hell zone, dumb idea. But he's got a wife, and his wife shows up for two scenes where she just nags him.
Two of the worst scenes
for being
in
a
the
cop.
Film.
And he's like, babe, it's what I do for a living.
All right.
And he's got a son.
It's a bullshit.
Well, I'm not convinced he's ever actually met beyond
really?
That first scene we get of them playing video. Like, I think that was their first meeting. Yeah. I think that's the first time he's ever laid eyes on that
son.
Well,
they keep alluding to Billy has to have a meeting with the social.
Yeah, he's going to get his social evaluations. Yeah. She wants Chad McQueen to take some time off work to get that done. Yeah. He can't do it. He's going undercover in the hell zone.
They never explain what the social evaluations are.
At all.
And then later on.
Like, are they afraid the kid's autistic? Yeah. Is that what's going on
That's
here?
The vibe I got.
Does the kid have Asperger's? Yeah. That's why Chad McQueen's drinking so much throughout this whole movie. What am I going to do with this kid?
They never explain what it is. They only bring it up later when Chad's like, I also didn't do well on my social thing.
Oh, yeah,
that's
right.
And
that's
it. And then they're just like, yeah?
So we meet the wife twice. She's nagging. And then the wife gets killed by the bad guys.
Thankfully, because she's the worst actress.
She's the worst.
In the movie.
She's a terrible actress, which is another one of my bullet points coming up. But how are we supposed to feel about this? Because the whole movie, we've seen the waitress he's trying to bang far more times than we've seen her.
I think we're supposed...
How are we supposed to feel about him as a human being when he's just a scumbag?
Fucking
around on his wife and kid.
I think she's a real
bitch. Were we supposed to be sad about
her
getting shot?
She's a real ice queen, and we're supposed to be like... Oh, finally Braniff is free and could be Braniff.
But like the bad guys are like, we're sending a message to him by killing his wife. If anything, you're doing him a goddamn favor.
Yeah, he's like,
so it's
joke's
just like,
on you, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm going to join your gang now. Thank
she
you.
She was the one being like, don't do it. She's gone now. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it.
And the key point is he is free. He's got nothing tying him down anymore. Because he's not raising that kid as a single dad
no,
now,
No.
There's no fucking chance.
Yeah.
Once she's murdered... The fate of the child is never addressed at any point for the rest of the movie.
It was addressed. You got to read between the lines here, pal.
I mean, he's being babysat by grandma when the mom's murdered.
Right. When you're making a masterpiece like this, you don't got time to fill in all the blanks, you know. So what happens?
All I want is like a last scene where him and the kid and the waitress slash stripper just walk off into the sunset together.
No, he doesn't have to because... The mother-in-law, who he probably also hates, has the kid.
Oh, I guarantee you he hates that cunt.
Clearly, the kid's going to fail the social skills interview.
Oh, man.
And Braniff's finally a free man. Like
he's right
just
on
like,
the same path of being Braniff Jr. It's no good for this kid.
He's like, hey, mother-in-law that I don't like, Billy's your problem now.
I would probably just fake my own death. It's the hell zone. Like, you could make that happen.
Right. I got this much hotter woman now, Lisa.
Oh, yeah, Lisa's a little dish.
Yeah. Ooh, baby.
So the women in this movie, I did want to point out a little bit. One of my bullet points is looking to find out who the hell they were. Because, as you said, the woman playing the wife is in a movie full of just amateur acting. In a movie that has a fucking Ultimate Warrior as a main character.
Right.
She stands head and shoulders above everyone.
Not the Ultimate Warrior.
As the worst actor in the film.
Not the Ultimate
Warrior.
So
I'm like... Is she fucking the director? Is she fucking the producer? Who's she fucking? How'd she get in this movie? Let me look into her a little bit, see who she is.
Did she get anywhere?
Turns out she's fucking nobody, man.
Wow.
Nobody. Like, she had one-off roles on fucking Baywatch and Love Boat the Next Wave. And, like, other than that...
Oh, those sounds like good shows.
Fucking nothing. So it's like, yeah, this chick's not even an actress. She's definitely just fucking somebody who's... Probably our old boy Pepin, the Canadian director, I gotta assume. He had to have been hitting that between takes, man. There's no other reason for her to be on set.
She could have been fucking a producer.
The other chick who plays Lisa, very interesting. She was only in a couple movies. And then after this, she was in one more that came out the same year, if you count 1994 as the year. So a couple months later, never in another movie after that. And then in one more movie in 2007.
Look,
I thought that was very strange.
Cut to the chase and tell me which movie I can see her titties in.
I think you can see Lisa's tits. I think I did bang that. I'm not going to 100% tell you, But I think I did come across that during my researches.
If Bing doesn't give us the answer.
So yeah, I guess my point right here.
Our other favorite search engine, Mr. Skin will. Because we use both
sure,
of those.
For sure. Hand in hand.
Yeah, we pay for Mr. Skin.
Well, you got to.
Yeah.
Mr. Skin's not doing this shit for free.
Yeah, you got to get the real results. Hey,
episode brought to you by Mr. Skin, as always.
Dude. He good dude.
So yeah, I guess what I hit a dead end when I'm trying to figure out who these women were and how they got in this movie. There's no fucking explanation.
You know what didn't hit a dead end?
What's that?
This story, and we'll get back to it.
Okay, back into the story now?
So they're like, oh, we're deathmatch fighters. So they're in there, and they're like, hey, what's up, other deathmatch guys? And a lot of the other deathmatch guys are like, don't get close to deathmatch guys because they die and they'll turn on you and you might have to kill them.
You might have to kill them. This is all going on in deathmatch.
And they're all like,
name of the game.
They're all like, fuck that. Let's talk to these guys. And they like make friends with some of them. And then you're like, oh man, they're friends with Viper. They're going to have to fight Viper.
Mm-hmm.
No. Viper gets killed by somebody else.
Viper definitely.
Moral of the story
is, not even like a character that we're introduced to before he kills. Like, no. Why not have the swordsman kill Viper?
Right.
Get some more heat on the swordsman as our big bad guy.
No, it doesn't matter.
Instead, you know who kills Viper? The Rocker, Matt.
Was that his name?
And what did he have to do with the Rocker? He had some sort of like weird goth kabuki thing going on.
Well, it was Marty Jannetty.
Oh, this is him under all that fright makeup?
Yeah.
Good for him for getting a payday.
Yeah.
He probably had more scenes. It was supposed to be an established character, but Party Marty fucking got in trouble. And,
he got fired.
Most of that shit.
He got fired.
Fired off of firepower.
Showed up on drugs, just like a Royal Rumble. So, anyways, they come friends with these people. They shouldn't. Some of them die. Lisa doesn't die. Lisa's finally like, after the second encounter.
Yeah, I was
the
I
first
was invested
encounter,
in Lisa at this point.
She's like, Bran, like, I've been with other fighters. Like, I can't trust you. Like, everybody's like, whoa, easy, Bran, if that's the main bad guy's
Drexel's
girlfriend.
Drexel fucked her.
Hell, Drexel fucked her.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, well, I don't even care. So then, like, the second time he's hanging out with her, she's like, you're so right. You're the best, Bran. If they're making the drugs at this warehouse.
There was literally no transition between, like, giving this fucking chubby loser the brush off and being like, I thought about it, and you're great, and my boss is evil. I'm on your side.
It was something I appreciated.
Oh, for sure.
This movie didn't want story to get in the way.
I don't care about Lisa.
Yeah.
I don't want to believe in her actions. I just want more swordsman action.
The story was used as a conduit, as an in-between to get to the next fighting or blow-up scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it had to be. And it just worked its way through until finally we get our big show-up, our fight between the swordsman. Oh, I'm sorry. The other guy that was in jail with Warrior...
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get broken out? Is that what it is?
Yeah, he got broken out.
And then they picked him up again.
And then he comes and is just like, oh, now I'm going to go kill your wife.
Yeah.
He just did like a little pit stop to go kill fucking Chad McQueen's wife.
Well, he gets picked up again because he breaks away from the police.
Yeah, that was getting transferred to a new station, and then like he broke away during that when the bikers from Apocalypse or whatever come over and blow up the fucking truck. And then he gets out, and then he hooks back up with Drexel after killing the wife, and he's like, hey, Drexel, these two guys that are fighting in your pit fighting ring are the same cops that arrested me.
Yeah.
So then Drexel's like, oh, we gotta get rid of him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start putting him in lethal matches with the swordsman. And that's when our boy, old Ponytail,
Sledge,
he gets his head chopped off by the Ultimate Warrior's sword, and easily my highlight of the night, best part of the movie. The kills is a bullet point here. There's a few cool kill things going on.
Yeah.
The number one is fucking our boy with the British accent and the long ponytail. He gets in there. He fights the Warrior. He's doing a lot of athletic shit. He's got a lot of chop socky action, as the in-movie announcer told us, which is just tough for us to get away from this racism, huh? It keeps bubbling up no matter what we talk about. But, you know, he doesn't get the job done. The Warrior gets a sword. It's his signature weapon, and he cuts his head off.
It's been established by his name.
And then he's got real long hair, so it looks real cool when he grabs his fucking chopped-off head by the hair, holds it up with one arm, holds the sword up with his other arm, and just Ultimate Warrior fucking screams into the heavens. Best shot of the movie. Best part of the movie. Fucking highlight of the movie. This scene made the movie for me.
I'm going to say maybe it was their lack of story, but I didn't know who was going to win that fight.
Oh, yeah?
I was like...
Well, where would it have gone if Ponytail didn't die and then we still had just Chad McQueen hanging around doing nothing.
Well, I didn't realize they're going to make him the main star of the film. I thought Gary Daniels was by far our main guy here.
We could move this. I had one more addendum before I move on to this.
Yeah.
My secondary kill, which I like, is not even really a kill. It's when they're breaking the swordsman out of jail.
Right.
And it's a future jail. It's not just a normal jail.
Yes, I know
jail.
The scene you're talking about.
So it's basically basically a normal jail. It's just fucking like old school 80s fucking bar doors.
Yeah.
But the bar doors are open and closed by handprint.
Hand sensor.
So the fucking punks come in and they gotta find some way to do it. So he's like, I got an idea. Fucking dude just shotguns off one of the prison guard's arms, just fully shotguns off half his arm, and holds his hand up and then breaks him out, just all slick-like. I loved it. It was great.
You
got a rubber hand. You got a shotgunning going on. That was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, another bullet point I wanted to transition here, going to our next point, is our two stars, Chad McQueen and
Gary Daniels.
Gary Daniels, and what we thought of them as performers. I'm going to toss it to you. Chad McQueen, what'd you think?
Serviceable at times. He was like, there's something about him. He's got a little bit of a Michael Madsen mixed with a little bit of Tom Sizemore.
I could see some Sizemore.
If you mix the two of them.
He kind of reminded me of Peter DeLuise, 21 Jump Street era a little bit.
Okay, all right. I could see a little of that.
A little bit of that going on.
I could see like the acting chops of a Peter DeLuise, not up there with a Madsen or a fucking Sizemore.
Absolutely not as good as an actor. So this is, earlier I was saying, is his biography, you look him up, it says that he's an actor, a martial artist, says that he's a race car driver, and then it's like also he's Steve McQueen's son.
Yeah.
And you got that flipped. You got to reverse that, because he's Steve McQueen's son, which is why he was able to do all these things.
Right.
Because he's clearly very mediocre at all of them.
When I first saw the name Chad McQueen, in my head, you know, whenever we had jobbers with last names of other wrestlers, I'd always be like, or it's the brother of this famous person. And in my head, watching this movie, they're like, Chad McQueen.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
Steve McQueen's son.
Yeah, it's Steve McQueen's son.
Sure.
And then I watched the movie and then dug into it later, because I like to do my digging
going
afterwards.
Fresh.
I go in fresh. I take it in as what I know.
I feel the same way.
And then I dig into it, and I read that, and I was like, holy shit.
Oh, man.
What? Oh.
That's recessive genes in action
right
there.
No wonder he's the only surviving member of his family, because everybody else killed themselves.
Next to a guy in
bad he did.
Great shape, very athletic like Greg Daniels. Next to a guy roided out of his mind like a Jim Helwig. He looks like a piece of shit, man.
Yeah.
To me, he looked like that friend of your dad's who just like comes over once every 6 months.
Right.
And your mom's always real mad that he's coming over.
Yeah.
So then he's just got to stay in the garage. He's not allowed in the house. And like your dad and him just drink beers out in the garage. And then you don't see him again for another six months.
He looks kind of cool. Kind of dangerous. But like,
I don't know what his day-to-day life looks like. I can't imagine that.
Doesn't look great.
And then, you know, by contrast, Gary Daniels. This guy's charismatic. He's an athletic wunderkind. Like, ripped to shit, like much more lithe than like the Ultimate Warrior, but I'd say he's hitting that gym just as hard as the Warrior. This guy's got to have a routine going on, man.
I'm going to tell you right now, we're watching another movie of his.
Oh, I was just going to say that. Okay.
Which one do you have picked out?
Well, I got picked out where he co-stars with Don the Dragon Wilson in 1991's Ring of Fire. I was like, I need to see some more Gary Daniels. What are we looking at?
All right. I was kind of leaning towards Malcolm McDowell and Leon Vader White.
Oh.
In the live screen adaptation of the anime classic Fist of the North Star from 1995.
Oh, that sounds terrible. We'll have to put that on the list.
The biggest budget of all the Gary Daniels films.
Oh, but wow, that's impressive.
Stars as the hero Kenshiro.
Look out for it. We got a couple more Gary Daniels movies coming up. Because if I came out of this movie impressed by anything, it was not this man as an actor, but just what he might be able to do in an action environment.
I want to see more of Gary Daniels. I like dumb action.
Agreed.
I want more Gary Daniels. I kept thinking to myself, if this guy would have made the transition to film, little background, he's a trained fighter and everything, ninjutsu, taekwondo, kickboxing, I think jujitsu. He fought in
all the itsus.
He's fought in England, where he was 12-3-0. All of his wins came from knockout, and his three losses were all disqualifications on account of how physical he was.
Ooh, I like that.
So he
too
was like,
physical.
He was like, well, fuck it. I'm moving to the States. They'll appreciate me here. And
worked for JCVD.
He beat a bunch of people in Florida, and then kickboxing got huge in California. And he's like, well, fuck it. I'm going to go there. Where he finished it with a career of 22-5-0, I want to say.
Wow. This is all. He's not looking at notes or anything. No. He's just as like internalized the career of Gary Daniels.
Oh, if right I care here. About something and I look at it, it's just in there.
It's a shame you never applied any of this to your schooling.
Right. And then 21 of those 22 wins were by knockout.
Wow. That's a lot of knockouts, Matt.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of spin kicks because he was doing a hell of a lot of spin kicks in
right.
this movie.
So he hangs it up. In, man, late 80s, early 90s, I don't know, when he started doing movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you
sounds
know,
about right, late 80s.
He decides, like, yeah, fuck it, you know, I'm going to parlay this into some acting work, where he gets a role as a male prostitute in Miami Vice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And probably also a like, male prostitute
what
in
a,
real life, let's be honest.
What
I'm
a
sure
great,
he was doing at least a little
sure,
gigolo work.
Sure, what a great springboard, though. Like, it's the 80s, and you're like, I got to establish myself as an
mm-hmm,
actor.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself on the hottest fucking show on
oh,
all of
sure.
television.
Hey, get me Don Johnson's phone number.
Like, I can remember,
I
like,
need Nin.
As a kid, like, my old man being like, come on, we gotta get home. Fucking Miami
oh,
Vice
yeah.
is on.
Everybody's dad was super like, pumped about man. Yeah. It was mostly just that scene in the opening credits where they just show the butt with the girl walking
yeah.
in the bikini, too. Once that was over, 90% right. of the show was over.
That's fair.
All about that butt.
So, if Daniels, I kept thinking to myself, if he would have, like, tried to made the transition into acting a little earlier.
Maybe if his accent wasn't so stupid.
But, like, he's easier to understand than a JCVD.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of cachet of that in the action world. I feel like the more unintelligible you are, the
yeah.
higher your career's gonna go.
I'm just saying, I think this guy...
We got a Stallone, we got a Schwarzenegger, we got a JCVD.
How does it feel to be on that? You tell me! You should know better.
Even Seagal was very muttery. He yeah. didn't really enunciate.
Who, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Gary Daniels had a part as the Brit
Ooh.
In the first Expendables film.
I bet him and Seagal hate each other. I bet Seagal's so fucking jealous of him, man. I bet
I
if you just bring up that guy's name to Seagal, he'll
yeah.
just go off for like 10 minutes of what a pussy he is and how he can't really yeah. fight and
he's
shit.
He's a pussy. He's not a real fighter. He's just a pussy.
That's exactly how I picture it in my
yeah.
head. It was him saying that exactly.
So Gary Daniels, badass. I want to know more about this guy.
I agree wholeheartedly. I just got a couple little things I'd like to point out.
Okay.
Most of the names of the fighters throughout this movie were really dumb. Like I said, our main character took the name the Alley Cat, which is super fucking
Ooh,
lame.
Wait. We're wrapping up bullet points here.
Yeah, I.
You know what these are?
What's
these
that?
These are little bullet points that you want to get Ooh. Done quickly, but you're still thinking about it.
We're at rapid fire right now.
Yeah, rapid fire or quick fire.
Cool. So I just want to say that I caught one name that was really cool up on their like tournament list, and that
yeah.
was Dr. Death Tumor.
That's
Dr.
a great
Death
name.
Tumor is a cool fucking fighting name. My other quick one, I just wanted to say, I want to shout out the coolest fucking line in the movie. Comes early on when they're doing their buddy cop shit, chasing people, blowing stuff up. And fucking our boy Gary Daniels declares
yep.
them LAPD, the rock and roll division.
Yeah.
That's fucking... I would wear an LAPD rock and roll division t-shirt. I'll tell
make
you that
them,
right
I'll
now.
I'll get them made for
Please
us.
Please do.
Yeah. My rapid fire would be... I love those lines too. There's also another one where they're in great duress and Gary Daniels is like... This baby's just, oh, he's talking about the war bus that they're on.
Mm-hmm,
and it's impenetrable. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this baby's as tight as a virgin on her first date.
Yeah, right.
And I said to myself,
going
like,
from Australia.
I was like, look at this guy still making jokes, even in a time of duress. This guy's okay. I also like,
he's a lot of fun.
They managed to work in a classic cop trope
mm-hmm.
when Braniff and Sledge are talking about going deep undercover. And the captain's like, you got a family, Braniff.
That's right, yeah. The captain, didn't really mention him. Kind of an underrated performance, I feel like. That guy, very few scenes, but he was good as the typical gruff police captain.
Yeah, like, it's reckless. I shouldn't let you do it because I care about you, but I know you need
I
to
like
do it.
I like how he's always telling Sledge, get a haircut.
Yeah, they really played that heavy at first. My other final piece of the rapid
Let's wrap
fire
it up here.
would be
pew 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 pew.
That ending.
Okay. The it ends on a rooftop.
You're right.
Like all great movies do.
Big fight. Swordsman is gonna beat up Braniff. Braniff's trying to save Lisa from Drexel.
Oh,
Drexel's
Lisa.
Like one
so
last
worried about her.
One last death match on the roof of my AIDS vaccine warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
If you
fake AIDS vaccine warehouse,
he's like, it's you and Swordsman and the
big money in fake AIDS vaccines.
Yes, you win, you get Lisa. Game on. And so Swordsman's like, I'm going to kill him with this sword. Beatdown's been done. Here it comes. And Braniff's like, last second, moves out of the way. Swordsman gets electrocuted. He dies. He grabs Swordsman's sword, throws it at Drexel super fast, because apparently he's good at throwing swords, which we haven't established. Hits him square in the heart.
He's a cop, man. They got to go through training.
Even though they missed so many shots in the beginning of this film. But their marksmanship did get better as the film progressed.
Well, they missed a lot of shots early in the film, but then the one cop pulled out the smart bullet.
Which yeah.
But then it's established that they have smart bullets, but then that's never brought up again at any point in the movie.
He only had the one.
They don't use smart bullets ever again.
So he throws the sword, hits Drexel. Drexel falls through the skylight, falls to his death.
Oh, I love a fall through
the
skylight.
He and Lisa can finally be lovers like we all have always wanted
with
to.
With no ex-wives, no little kids, nothing in between them.
And Lisa turns to Braniff and says, let's both get out of Hell Zone. Roll credits.
Oh, man. And then, sweet heavy metal song over the end credits.
Yeah.
Which is a badass way to
end
the fucking action movie.
Which was called Hell Zone, performed by Andrea Martin or something.
Andrew Martin of pro wrestling fame.
Yep.
Rest in peace.
His mom, Andrea Martin.
All right. Well, that does it for bullet points. We got just a little bit more to talk about when it comes to Free Fire. And we're going to come back.
Fire power.
We're going to give you a little sneak peek at what we're talking about next week. And then we're going to come back to our new, brand new third segment, Judgment Day.
For 400 years, they've developed their own mysterious traditions. For over 400 years, they've had a strict code of honor and unparalleled standards of respect. For over 400 years, they have terrorized the streets of Japan. Now, they want to control the city of Los Angeles. Determined to leave their mark in blood. Dolph Lundgren and Brandon Lee are ready for a showdown in Little Tokyo. They're two LA cops who are hungry for a little takeout. Dolph Lundgren, Brandon Lee. Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Look out, Jack, because it's the Hail Zone. I don't know. That's not how the song went.
It could have been.
But, like, that's a good.
I'm going to see if we can find some copies of that Hell Zone song and get it layered in here somewhere, because it's too good to fucking not share with the world. That's for damn sure.
Go tell your friend Jim, because it's a motherfucking Hail Zone.
This is also, too, I feel like it's the director of the film imprinting his opinion over it. Just like, they're saying they're going to leave the Hell Zone, but it's not really. The Hell Zone's cool. Don't worry, everybody. The Hell Zone's fucking cool.
Can I pose a question to you?
Oh, okay.
Before we get to our newest topic.
Might give you a no comment, but
Judgment
we'll see.
Day?
We'll see how it goes.
And I'm going to do a little Judgment Day right here. Are you ready?
Oh, fuck.
Why did they name the movie Firepower, which seemingly has nothing to do with the movie, when you could have just named the movie Hell Zone?
Hell Zone would have been a cooler name. I'm looking here, seeing if there was some blowback. Our new segment here is called Judgment Day, and it's where we take a look.
I'm casting judgment.
At how the movie was received, not by the critics, nay,
no.
But by the real people.
You.
The internet mutants out
the
there.
Fans.
See what they think about it. When I was digging into reactions, seeing how people felt, I did see quite a number of people mention your question.
Yeah.
Why is it called Firepower? It's got almost nothing to do with firepower. As a matter of fact, most of the weapons in the movie are nunchucks and swords and whatnot.
Correct.
There's a lot of, I think the early, like, 10 minutes you get most of the missiles and explosions and shit.
Yeah, you get, and a lot
and
of
then
it
it's out of the way. It's just out of the way.
Until that third act when Braniff comes
storming
back to the
Hull Zone. I feel like there was some rejiggering, I think. I think maybe it's just a legacy title that was in there. I think originally it was probably going to be much more like a post-apocalyptic exploding helicopters action.
Look. We're not renaming the Swordsman. We're not changing the name from Firepower.
And then they saw the budget, and they're like, oh, we got to cut, like, most of this stuff out. Well, then we only have a 45-minute movie. So then it's like, well, then we'll have to add in another 45 minutes of fight scenes.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to do it.
We've got that Ultimate Warrior guy. Just keep making him fight.
That's my theory of why it was called Firepower. That's I think originally we were getting probably much more firepower if you look at that script. So their eyes were too big for their budget.
Again, and that was just a slight judgment on my hand. Because, you know, you could have called the movie Hellzone, which is cool.
That's a really cool thing to call it.
Let's get into it. Let's find some really Judge Judy's here, you know, not just my little...
They're split down the middle here. There's some people who love this movie. There's some people that hate this movie. So fair play here.
That's very rarely ever the case.
Play here on Baby Oil and Blow. I want to tell you what's happening on both sides because we can't be bought here. We're straight shooters.
Nate, I can.
Okay. We could be bought. Pauly Shore, are you listening?
Everybody's got a price.
This first one is a 4-star review from Amazon user Thomas F. Price.
And they do theirs out of, it's 4 out of 5.
We're dealing all five stars here. This is an industry standard we're using. Okay. He says, Pancakes McQueen, rating for an entertaining B-movie.
Pancakes
Daniel McQueen should have been the star. McQueen looked like the only thing he beats are eggs for his French toast and pancakes.
Wow.
That's the whole review. 4 stars, though. Like the movie.
Real quick, though,
Tom.
Seems
to think Greg Daniels was carrying it.
Real quick, Tommy.
Yeah.
It's Steve McQueen's fucking kid. You think he's cooking his own breakfast?
Sure. No.
No. He pays somebody a lot of money to do that. Go fuck yourself.
Definitely got some sort of butler that's cooking his eggs and pancakes. But he's eating a lot of it. I get your point.
But he's still giving him 4 stars.
Amazon user Bruce Winning gives this movie 5 stars, Matt.
Oh, that's lay it on me, Brucey.
5 out of 5. Bruce says, there is an exceptional amount of violence. I like the action and violence. There is quite a lot of kicking and punching in a ring environment. Of course, there is quite a bit of the hand-to-hand combat in other circumstances. There is a lot of shooting. There is some spectacular pursuit scenes. That about sums it up right there, man.
That is 1,000% factual.
Bruce
everything
Winning,
he just said.
He didn't lie. He's telling you what's in the movie. It's what he wants. It's what he likes. Why not give it 5 stars?
I can't believe our first foray into the new format, and we've already managed to find the most honest man on the internet.
That's probably true. We get this guy to run for office.
Yeah.
We need to have him drain the swamp, probably.
See if you can get some contact information on Bruce, because he's going to be friend of the show. I'm going to want to get in contact
with him. I'll be binging
him.
We're going to... Yeah. Actually, we should probably just start pulling up the things that he's reviewed and just...
And just start watching those movies. Yeah. Great idea.
So these guys, you know, we're not saying that the guys who don't like the movie are dishonest. Maybe they have their points too, Matt.
Absolutely.
They could have their point.
They could.
Such as IMDb user KBU the Warrior, who gave this...
Well, slow down now.
A paltry 1 star. 1 star out of 5 rating.
He's got Warrior in his name and Warrior's in the movie, and he gives it 1 star.
Is it Kubu the Warrior? KBU the Warrior? It's all one word. I don't know.
Mildly
but
racist.
Hear him out here. Hear him out. He says, literally, it's painful to watch this drivel, no story. The acting is beyond subpar. I thought I was having a heart attack while watching this movie. Come to find out, it's just my gag reflex working overtime. Period.
You're sucking dick.
That's all
the
first sentence. We got our first period there.
Okay.
I love the Ultimate Warrior as much as the next guy. Come to think of it, I don't like him nor his performance in this total crap fest. Swerve there.
Wow.
This movie is mind-numbing and stupid. It's nothing but badly choreographed fights and very bad acting. I love bad movies. I mean, they make you laugh because they're so bad, but not this piece of crap. All it makes me want to do is drink so I can kill the brain cells that contain memories of this movie. And final, never watch this movie, people. It's like the video in The Ring, only instead of you dying, you kill 95 minutes you could have spent doing something else, like reading or drinking, laughing my ass off. 1 out of 10, this movie is 100 on the jobber scale.
So Hogan wrote this review?
It's Kubu the Warrior. It maybe some of the cadence, you could say it did sound like it could have been Hulk Hogan, but he didn't sign the review. Much love, HH. So I got to say probably not.
Kubu.
Maybe the barber?
That's exactly where I was going.
maybe Brutus Beefcake. Either way, I don't know. He makes a lot of salient points. Backed up by... he's not the only person that didn't love this movie. Also, Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Bruno V. He gives it 1.5 stars. He says, that guy with the long hair playing a cop looks like a woman with his helmet on. So stupid. A really asshole macho cop you don't care for 1 second. Some DVD. That's the last word he wrote. It's just SOM DVD. I don't know it.
All right. A couple of things here.
Bruno V, not a big fan.
Yeah. One thing we didn't bring up in this film is they're very forward thinking. There's a scene where when they're first entering the Death Ring Center Palace, whatever.
Sure.
And they're greeted by the tranny prostitute.
Oh yeah, that was right. They had some banter with her.
Neither one of them takes a cheap early '90s. Fag joke shot.
No, they go straight to like the year gutter trash humor, which is much more progressive.
But they even like give him a female acknowledgement, like, hey, easy there, cowgirl. And it's like, they're kind of on the level. They're like, hey, you know, might not be our thing, but you know, as long as you're cool with it.
I think if there's one thing you take away about these two characters after watching this movie,
they'll fuck
anything.
They're
into weird sex shit, man.
They're gonna fuck whatever.
Most of the movie is them just trying to get some strange.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. So I applaud that.
So you applaud that. Let's just roll this straight into our judgments, what we think. Give some final thoughts and then give us what your rating is.
I just want to say that last reviewer, that was Virgil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ugh. A lot of grudges in the wrestling world. They're brigading these online reviews.
Wrestling and politics. It's petty world. My final judgment day. This movie right here had a lot of things I liked.
That's fair.
Including the warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And including things I didn't even know I liked.
Great screen presence.
Like Gary Daniels.
There you go.
Oh, warrior should have been doing a ton more shit. You should have been working him in action movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could have put him in horror movies. Mm-hmm. Boy's got presence. He was fucking crushing.
We've seen
him
puke on camera. He could do a possession movie.
The thing that sticks with me most of all throughout this film was this was 93.
Yeah.
I was
in
94.
It was filmed in 92.
93, 94. When it came out, I was roughly 10 years old.
Oh, that's a good age to be.
If you would have showed me this movie back then, I would have been like, this is a fucking cool movie.
Sure.
I would have been telling all my friends about it. I've been like, you didn't hear about it. It wasn't in the theater. You got to see this. Because sometimes you'd find those movies at the video store when you'd like gone through everything and you got to go
I'd find them a lot.
Like,
I was in that store every day.
Check out this 99-cent rental. You might have missed it, you know? This would have been one of them. And I would have been, man, I would have been championing it.
Over the moon.
And I'm saying this is... It didn't get its day, and it should have, and we're going to do our part. I think more people should be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So out of 5 bullets...
How much bullets does this thing take?
Bob, look, please, I'm paying attention.
God damn it!
I'm going to give it a solid 3.5 bullets.
3.5 bullets?
I was entertained.
Wow. Are you not entertained? Strong. That's a very strong rating for Firepower from Matt. I got to say I'm a little bit more sour on this movie than you. I want to be fair. There are things that I like. The action's decent. Those early cop chases, you get a car chase 6 minutes into this movie that already ends in a giant explosion.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The actual fights, not great. They're a little slow. Choreography's not too impressive, but at least there is choreography and there are fights. The camera's pulled back. You can see it. There's not a bunch of crazy cuts to like mask the fact that they're not really like putting together fight routines.
That is true.
So they tried. They tried. I'll give them credit for that. I love the heavy metal song over the ending credits. I love that they exploded a helicopter and probably they didn't have much money to work with.
No.
The acting's bad. The storytelling didn't hold together for me.
Those are little things.
One of my big complaints is that there weren't any boobs in the movie at all.
And that's a good point.
You have that establishing scene when they're going into this club for the first time. There's strippers, there's cocktail waitresses, there's hookers everywhere. They've all got tops on for no fucking reason. Who are you trying to impress with this low-budget, straight-to-DVD action movie? An R rating's not going to do anything for you. No. It's not going to ruin you in any way.
No.
Get these titties out, is what I'm saying. So I didn't like that. On the other hand, you know, Daniels and Warrior, they were using a lot of baby oil throughout this movie.
Hell yeah.
Warrior and McQueen, they were clearly both on a lot of blow.
Absolutely.
So as far as is right in our wheelhouse there, a lot of what this was doing,
yeah.
Not the best execution, but their heart was in the right place. I'm giving them a straight down the middle 2.5 bullets.
All right.
We got a 3-bullet average here from Baby Oil and Blow on 1993-1994's Firepower. Yeah. I got to say, if you're into low-budget action, that's probably a check it out.
Do you agree? It'll hold your attention.
Yeah, that's a make your own judgment rating from us, I'd say. We're not pushing you into it, but we're not turning you away from it.
Yeah. And you just sit through it. See what you think.
Especially if you're a fan of the Ultimate Warrior. Rest in peace.
Oh,
you sweet, sweet boy.
Man. Sweet, sweet warrior. Ah, Don the Dragon Wilson.
He's in our future. He's coming up.
He was the head of the biker gang in Batman Forever.
He was in Batman Forever.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
I'm going to call that an adventure film, however. We're not going to be covering that one.
Oh, there's no part of me that ever wants to have to see that movie
again.
Don't
worry, though.
Nice to see you.
Some of Don the Dragon Wilson's work in the future. We're going to be digging into some Chuck Norris, Steven Seagal. We got a lot of stuff on the docket here. We're going to be talking about Dolph Lundgren a lot. A lot on this podcast from this point forward.
You know I love talking about that guy.
All y'all wrestling fans who have stuck with us through here, we're going to be throwing some wrestling movies in here too. That's for damn sure. We already got one that's got Vader in it we're planning on covering.
Yeah.
A lot of Jesse Ventura shit, I'm sure.
You got to.
Stay tuned. I feel like there's big things on the horizon for Baby Oil and Blow. We're spreading our fingers out into other pies. We're expanding. We're taking over the world.
You gotta finger multiple pies.
One genre at a time. One. We're dipping our fingers into one pie at a time.
You announced
American Pie? Not an action film.
Oh, no, we're not doing it? No, okay.
No, definitely not. No. I think we've commiserated and...
yeah, I agree with it.
Next week, we've agreed. We're coming back. That trailer you heard earlier, it's happening. Showdown in Little Tokyo, little buddy cop movie from the early 90s. Same era, similar setup. We'll see who did the buddy cop movie better.
Spoiler alert, it's one of my favorites.
All right, looking forward to it.
Yeah, and hey, even though the format's changed...
Uh-huh.
The motto's still the same.
Always and forever.
It's Baby Oil and Blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own. And it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. Could use a friend.